His greatness, no one can fathom. One generation will commend your works to another. They will tell of your mighty acts. They will speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty. They will meditate on your wonderful works. They will tell the power of your awesome works.
I'm going to try to name
the 9 of the 13 grandkids of Cindy and Mike's.
Ooh.
Maya. Owen. Is that Owen?
Yeah, Owen.
Yeah, that is Owen. Emily. And we got Andrew. And, oh my.
Starts with an A. A-B.
Oh, Abby. Abigail. Yeah, and then that's Logan. And then that's Roman. And then Alyssa.
And Alyssa.
Oh, and then it's... Oh, you're Andrew.
Yeah,
we have two Andrews.
There's two Andrews. Hey, welcome, you guys. How polite they were. They stood up when I would call their names. They didn't have to do that. That means my grandkids need to stand and say, call out their names now. We have over there is
what's his name?
Ainsley. Then we have Lark. And then is Oliver. And next Oliver is JJ. There, that must be, is that your granddaughter?
It's Angie's, yeah.
Angie and Al, that's Ayla. She's here.
Yeah, she's going to do it.
That's great. That's a lot of kids. Now, is there one more? Oh, Adela and Kim. Now, Nancy, I hear that you have a birthday coming up, or did it happen?
It happened, and so it's over.
Well, we heard that Danny turned 72. So we got a lot of smart, wise people here.
Jim, that's the beginning of the month. How about what were you saying, that you got a birthday?
You got a birthday.
You stand up.
Birthday in August?
Birthday's in August.
Yeah. Oh,
today's ending.
You got a bulletin as you came in. I think Adele and Kim made sure you got a bulletin, you know, today. I just want you to know that this coming week, there is a prayer group that meets at 9:30 here at the church in the library. You're invited to be a part of that. Thursday is lunch with a bunch. It's from noon till 1 o'clock. It's a Bible study in the book of Philippians. And then Saturday, can it be done? Can we have another record number of guys there on Saturday morning? There was 12 last month. Let's see if we can get over 12. Dave, you gonna be there? I'll take you home. All right. So we're looking forward to Saturday breakfast. Also, next Saturday is Ingham Okoboji Bible Camp annual business meeting. Sharon, my wife, and myself, we're going as delegates. We can have one more. It's at 11:15 a.m. this coming Saturday. If you'd like to be a delegate, please talk to me today or call the church office. That would be wonderful. Prayer requests, there's a lot of names in the prayer requests. I'm just going to not hit everyone, but I just want to give you a little update with Elmer. Elmer is here today, and we know that he's been given the news of the big C word. He's got cancer, and they start radiation this month, right? That's what's going to be taking place for Elmer. So the Lord be with you as we keep you in our prayers each and every day, as we have been, and we continue to do so in the days ahead, Elmer. If it wasn't for Elmer, we probably wouldn't have men's breakfast. That's one of the things I remember when I first came here. Elmer goes, "Are you coming to the men's breakfast?" And I go like,
oh, there's a men's breakfast? He goes, yeah, first Saturday of every month. So guys, you can be a part of that. And again, Chuck Teelberg will pay for your breakfast. You know. Now, Dean, you're going to pick up Chuck, right? So, Chuck, you can't get out of this one.
I hope we have a good pension there, Chuck. Big promise.
Well, you know, it's either that or next, the first Saturday in September, we'll all come to your house, and Donna can make breakfast.
Yeah. We can do that.
Be mindful of Tammy Ebel, the daughter-in-law to Jim and Peg. She is going to be going to see a doctor in Mayo Clinic in Rochester. And then you got Jim Tackett, who's having a total hip replacement, coming up this week. That's Charlie's son, Jim. And then just keep in mind Pat Garrell. So they're not here today, but Pat lost her brother this past week. And so keep them in your prayers, both Pat and Dale, as Bob passed away this past week. Just want to remind you that following the service today, if you'd like to stay for some refreshments and coffee and some goodies to kind of eat, to hang out and visit type of thing, or some fellowship, you're sure welcome to do that. We just do that right in the back in the fellowship hall. If you can do that, that would be great. And let you know that we do have day camp that's coming up. So the day camp, some of the decorating and things that are going on in the fellowship hall are in light of that. It's going to be taking place in August. And Dina, what are the days?
August 9th through the 12th
here at Harbor of Joy. That's all the announcements that I am going to give. And let us just have a word of prayer this morning together. Heavenly Father, we are grateful for everyone that has come through the doors today. We thank you, Lord, for all the grandkids that are here today, and for the grandpa and grandmas that there's a lot of those here today as well. And we just thank you, Lord, for those that celebrate birthdays and some that want to forget about birthdays as well. We are just here, Lord, because we want to see Jesus today. We want to draw closer to him, not only for this time that we are here in this church, in these four walls, but Lord, even as we go home, as we go to our jobs and places that are beyond this church, Lord, may we take the Lord with us. And so we just pray, Lord, for those that we mentioned here today, those that are in the bulletin, that your special grace will be evident, that you would draw near, that people would reach out to you. Just as Peter reached out to you as he sunk into the water, as he was walking on the water, and he just said, Lord, save me. And Lord, we just ask that that would be upon the minds and hearts of people that just need that touch from you today for help, just a peace that only you can bring as well, and only you can save us from our sins. And we are just thankful that we can be gathered here today, and thank you for the rain, the moisture that came this last week, and Lord, we can always use more as well. We pray that you would bring the rain to the places, the states that are really dry as well, and may you just give hope that comes when people see the rain, and gladness of heart, especially for farmers. So we commit our time to you this morning, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Could you please stand? This blood.
And darkness and sin and trembles and force.
responsive reading today is in light of the first Sunday of the month when we have communion. There's a brief order of confession and forgiveness in your bulletin. And we start by saying, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us take some time in silence this morning and ask the Lord to show us our hearts, to show our sins, that we may confess them to him before we take communion this morning as well. So we just ask, most merciful God, we confess that we are bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have not done. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in your mercy, you have given us your Son, who has laid down his life for us. so that we may have forgiveness from our sins. Lord, we praise your name.
Text today. It really is a long text, but I
I just really shortened it up to just a few verses here, probably 3 verses, maybe it's only 2 verses. It's in John chapter 6, verses 22 through 24. So 3 verses. The next day, the crowd that had stayed on the opposite shore of the lake realized that only one boat had been there, and that Jesus had not entered it with the disciples, but that they had gone away alone. Then some boats from Tiberias landed near the place where the people had eaten the bread after the Lord had given thanks. And once the crowd realized that neither Jesus nor the disciples were there, they got into the boats and went to Capernaum in search of Jesus. That's part where it says, in search of Jesus. That's what kind of just grabbed my heart this week. And that's what we're going to be looking at here this morning. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I do not know who is here today that may be searching for Jesus. But Lord, we know that he can be found when we acknowledge him and we invite him into our lives and into our hearts. And by faith, we believe and we trust in him. The search is over once we have invited Christ in. Lord, may that be the case today for someone that is here in our midst. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The context of this passage, we go back to the feeding of the 5,000 and this is kind of the next day after the feeding of the 5,000. So it's centered around the day of the feeding of 5,000, where Jesus did a miracle of, how many loaves did he have, Oliver? Okay, Tom, it's 5. 5 loaves. They were known as barley loaves, which are, they're just little flat little barley loaves. I mean, they're not like a big loaf of bread that you think of. It's just something that they commonly take with them. For their own personal lunch type of a thing. And then he found that there was fish. How many fish were there?
3.
There were 2. And realized that the bread and the fish did not come from the disciples. They came from a little boy. A young boy. It was his lunch that gave it to the disciples to say, here, it's my lunch. 5 loaves. 2 fish, and he fed over 5,000 people. Pretty amazing. And the people knew that this had taken place. The disciples definitely should have seen what was going on. And the main thing is that when everyone was fed, over 5,000 people, it says 5,000 men, it means there was also women there, there's also children there. But after they were all fed, the amazing thing is they collected how many basketfuls?
12.
Yeah, 12 basketfuls. 12? 12 disciples. No. There's 12 months in a year. You go on and on. The number 12 is important. Now, we find that the very end of the passage that I already mentioned to or alluded to, that we find that there are people who are going to search for Jesus following this miracle. And that's why I said in my prayer today, there may be someone here today who is searching for Jesus that we don't even know about it. But Jesus knows who you are. And you don't have to go to Israel, to the Sea of Galilee, in searching for Jesus to find him. You can be in Iowa, here at Harbor of Joy, and be searching for Jesus. And I know that you'll find him here this morning if you truly, truly want to. The interesting thing is that you can attend Harbor of Joy very religiously. That means every time we have church on a Sunday, if you come, you can still come and still be an empty person. You may look good outwardly, everything looks good, you know, you're dressed nice, you've got a smile, but you can still be someone who is very empty inside and someone who is searching for the Lord Jesus personally. You can have a meaningless life. You can have a fearful life, full of all kinds of different fears. It is Jesus, remember, who said to those out on the boat, to his disciples, "Fear not. Do not be afraid. It is I." Remember the people who were fed by Jesus on that hillside. When they ate, and they're all done eating, everybody was what? They were satisfied. It's like everybody was saying, I've had enough, I'm full, I don't need anything more, this is good. But that was yesterday in our text where this took place. Now they are beginning to hear their stomachs growl again. And they want to find the man. They want to find Jesus, who gave them that free lunch yesterday, to see if they may get another free lunch today. And that's where we find our text today, in light of that's what's been going on. Now remember, it says that the people, the night before, they saw that the disciples got into a boat, and they grabbed the oars, and they started rowing out into the Sea of Galilee. Now, I don't know if there were storm clouds that were beginning to form at that time or not. The Sea of Galilee is about 700 feet below sea level. If you go to Israel and you're looking for the Sea of Galilee, you're kind of going like, where's it at? You're going to find you can't see it until you come over a hill. And then you go, whoa, there it is. It's down. And it's got big hills. Some call them mountains. They got big hills, the tallest is like about 2,200 feet, that surround the Sea of Galilee, but you got the winds that come down, and then they hit the warm water, and it's very common for there to be a storm that happens very quickly on the Sea of Galilee. Jesus dismisses the crowd as he tells his disciples to get in the boat and to, "I'll meet you in Capernaum." Capernaum is a place where it's kind of the headquarters of where Jesus lives, and I think it's even the place where Peter's mother-in-law is. There's nothing there today other than ruins in Capernaum. There is no houses that you find there. Jesus goes up onto top of the hill, the top of the mountain where he just fed the 5,000. And he's able to see out there the Sea of Galilee. He sees disciples that are rowing against the wind and the storm that has come upon them. And Jesus went up there to do what? He went up there to pray. Interesting. After this big miracle that he does, he gets away from his disciples, he gets away from the 5,000 or more people that were there, goes up onto the hill and prays. But he's able to see his disciples out there rowing the boat. And remember, in a storm on a lake, what happens? No, you don't see if the water where it's calm. But you've got rollers, you've got white caps that are taking place. It is at the fourth watch where Jesus goes out to his disciples who have been struggling, rowing against the wind on the sea that is very turbulent. And so they're going up and down. Jesus is walking out there on the water, and they see him, and what do they think they see? It's a ghost. And all of them are saying that it's a ghost. And you know, it's funny, they didn't turn around and start going with the wind. But they kept rowing, and they're afraid. It says they were very afraid and terrified of being able to see it's a ghost, but it was Jesus who went to them. And Jesus always comes to us in our time of need. And he says, "It is I." He identifies himself. And he says to them, "Do not be afraid." What are you afraid about today? Got any fears going on in your life? Anything that Jesus can't handle? let him take the oars of your life. Let him take the mind that you have that has been spinning out of control or going this way and that way, but give that to Jesus where he brings some calmness and some peace into your life, as only he can. There is a song that was a number of years ago by the group called U2. Anybody know who U2 is? They had a song, and it said this in the song: "And we still don't know what we're looking for." Remember that one? Still don't know what I'm looking for. Huh? Is that the wrong words? I had my own words. What's it say?
Found.
Oh. All right.
Still works.
I still didn't hear what you said. I'm 65. Sound. It's a sound.
Still haven't found what I'm looking for.
But I still haven't found what I'm looking for. There we go. Found. Maybe you're here today and you go like, I haven't looked, but I still haven't found what I'm looking for. Searching for Jesus. Remember that it was only one of the disciples who asked Jesus, "Can I come out there and join you? Can I come, Lord?" And Jesus says, "Come." And as Peter gets out of the boat, now you got to kind of think, Peter is kind of an incredible disciple. He steps out of the boat and he finds himself, he's able to walk on the water too. So he's kind of walking up the waves and going down the waves, and he's seeing Jesus. And then he also starts to realize that, hey, this is crazy. The wind is crazy. And he takes his eyes off of Jesus, and all of a sudden he starts going down, down, down. And before he knows it, he only has one thing to say. He says, "Lord, save me." It's probably the shortest prayer in the Bible. "Lord, save me." And Jesus reaches down and grabs him and takes him inside the boat. He gets inside the boat. The storm calms. The waves go down. And that's when the disciples said, "Truly, you are the Son of God." And they worshiped him. That's what Jesus can do for you in your life too. Bring that calm and stillness that you are looking for. In the church that I grew up in, St. Olaf Luther Church, above the altar was a big picture of this very scene of the disciples in the boat, and Jesus is walking on the water, and it is Peter who is reaching up in fear with his hand, and Jesus has grabbed his arm. And I was able to see that every time he went to church. This whole story. Now keep in mind that the people who were on shore and who were fed the day before, they knew that only one boat had left. It was just the disciples. Jesus was not in that boat. He didn't get on that boat. But he sent them off. They knew that they were going to go to Capernaum because that is a place where Jesus and his disciples would hang out often. The storm had blown in some boats from Tiberias. We see that in our text. It's because of the storm that it would blow some boats across the Sea of Galilee to this place where they were fed. And so no one knew whose boats they were, so they got in them and they rowed to Capernaum. And that's where they did find Jesus. So they kind of went through a lot in order to find Jesus. So the conclusion of the message today is this. Were their motives in finding Jesus correct or not? What kind of motives did they have? They could have three of them. We find in John's Gospel, the one that we're in, if we look prior to what we read here, we find that it is a people here. Jesus knew that these people wanted to come and make him king after he had fed them. And they were going to do it forcefully. You find that in verse 15 of chapter 6 in John. When they did find him in Capernaum, they wanted him to do another miracle. Kind of forgot about it. Maybe they wanted the same miracle. Maybe they wanted a free lunch. Another free lunch that he could give to them. So I think their motives were very misplaced. Because Jesus comes to them and he says, I am the bread of life. And this is where he loses them. This is where they turn their back on Jesus. And he says, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. The people did not want to hear this. They wanted to see a miracle. Their appetite was not for spiritual things, it was for earthly things. And you know that earthly things, they only satisfy for a while. We went down to the green space in Arnold's Park yesterday and saw all those Corvettes. Did you see those?
Yeah.
And you go like, wow, look at this one, look at that one. But guess what? Not one of those Corvettes are going to get into heaven. They're all going to have to be left behind. You know, there's some differences between men and women when it comes to shopping. Women, they like to go and search for hours for different things when it comes to shopping. Men, we know what we want before we go. And we go into the store, we bag it, or we find it, we bag it, and then we get out of there. That's just, we're made different. It's kind of the way we are. Jesus, if you're searching for him, you will find him by faith. He gives us the food that will endure forever, its eternal life. He brings contentment. He brings things that will satisfy you that you never ever thought was possible. So it's always good to be searching for Jesus, but it's better when you also find him, and it's always going to be by faith. If we look at Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 13 through 14a, it says this. This is very good words that we find in the Old Testament of Jeremiah. It says, you will seek me, and this is the Lord speaking, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord. So it begins with faith. And it leads you to repentance. Begin to see your sin. And God's hatred of it. And that's when we make him our Savior, our God. We put him in the number one place in our life. And when we put him in our number one place, it means this. God, you're in charge. I'm not. You're the driver. I'm in the back seat. How many of you are good about being in the back seat when somebody else is driving? Do you like that? Only if you trust the driver. What do you call someone who's telling you how to drive who's in the back seat? Yeah, you're a backseat driver. Do you like having a backseat driver? None of us do. But that's what God wants to be for you and for me. He wants to be driving, taking us where he wants to take us. And we're to let him do that. A lot of people don't like to hear that. A lot of people say, no, I'm in charge. I'll do it my way. Frank Sinatra. Jesus needs to be number one. He needs to have control. So I just ask you with this. Last question. So where are you at with the Lord today? Where are you at? Is he truly driving and you're in the back seat? Or do you have the Lord in the back seat and you're driving? It don't work. He needs me to drive. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for showing us today that for any heart, any person that is seeking you, searching for you, can find you by a simple faith. May that be the case today. If someone says, my search has come to an end, I know now that Jesus needs to be first in my life. And I would put him there today by faith, by asking him to come into my heart and to help me to live for him each and every day. I pray this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Let us stand as we recite the Apostles' Creed together. You know, the Apostles' Creed is very short. It's one of those things that came about in the very early years of the early church, the early Christian church, when there was a lot of different teachings going on in the early church, where the theologians and the pastors got together and said, this is what is important for a Christian to believe. You must believe everything that is in this creed in order to be a Christian. If you disagree with something, well, then you've got some issues and some problems. So that's why this came about. It's not written by the apostles or the disciples. It's just been given the name, the Apostles' Creed, because this is what is important. And to believe in a personal way in your heart and life today. Let's just say it together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. There may be some that are here today that have never been here at a communion Sunday. I just kind of want to go over some things. So those of you that know this, relax. Those of you that are new, that would like to be a part of this, this is kind of what happens. You got two stations. You can come up and go through this one and then go around that way and sit down where you came from. Or you can go up to the very front, given the elements. And you can stay up there, you can kneel. If you can't kneel, you can stand up there and just pray to the Lord for as long as you want. And then when you're done, you can go back and sit down where you're seated. If you do come up there and if you don't want wine to drink, just hold your hand up like this. So then the servers will know that they will give you grape juice instead of wine. And so that's basically it. You will be ushered, and someone will release you to tell you to kind of get your drink up there. And I'm going to ask the servers to come at this point in time. And when we are ready, then we will begin serving you today. I almost forgot this. But it's okay, you guys can stand up here. We are always reminded of why we do this. And it says that the Lord Jesus, on the night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it. And he said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." He then took the cup. And he also gave thanks. He said to his disciples, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me."
Thank you.
And risen Lord Jesus Christ, who has now given you his holy body and blood, through which he has made full satisfaction for all your sins. May he strengthen and preserve you in true faith unto everlasting life. Amen. Let us pray the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread,
and forgive us our trespasses,
as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
May the grace or the peace of God, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will. And may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.